experience that I had as a prosecutor definitely filtered in into both of the books.
You're joining a group of attorneys who have become writers like John Grisham, Scott Turow. How do you feel about being in that company?
Oh, I mean, I don't know if I could put myself in that company. That's very humbling. But I think probably every writer has a every lawyer has a book in them, whether it's, you know, come to fruition or not. It's a very writing-based practice. You know, you write motions, you think about how to present evidence. So it's kind of a natural mix. But, you know, if anything, I think learning how to write well as a lawyer is kind of a handicap for learning how to write fiction, because in legal writing, you have to be very dry and, you know, you just use the same word over and over again. And then in fiction writing, you want things to be a little spicy. And sometimes you want a little ambiguity in a way that you don't when you're, you know, doing legal writing. So, you know, it's an interesting mix.
Well, on that note, Alex Kenna, I want to thank you very much for joining us on Politics or Pedagogy.
Thank you for having me.
This is John Crumshaw with a special education report.
Donating your car or boat is an excellent way to help KPFK stay alive and on air. All you have to do is call 877-KPFK-AUTO. That's 877-KPFK-AUTO, and we'll take care of everything.
This is Ed Begley Jr., and you're listening to KPFK 90.7 FM Los Angeles, 98.7 FM Santa Barbara, and worldwide at kpfk.org.
Good afternoon and welcome to Middle East in Focus. I'm Esty Chandler. In July, Al Jazeera Media Network broadcast an investigative documentary titled Nusrat 274, The Hostage Massacre, on the Al Jazeera 360 VOD streaming platform. The film reveals new details about one of the bloodiest massacres perpetrated by Israeli occupation forces during its war on Gaza. On the day of the Israeli raid on the Nusrat refugee camp, which led to the rescue of four hostages, but resulted in the deaths of 274 Palestinians and the injury of at least 814 others on that single day. Using meticulous analytics of the facts, the film exposes the true nature of the events of that day by linking satellite imagery and aerial navigation data, monitoring Israeli troop movements, and preemptive deployment. The film shows evidence that the operation was not random, but rather a part of a systematic plan that relied on the use of excessive force and intensive airstrikes to target civilians during five massacres at different locations, which Israeli officials described at the time as a successful rescue of four of their captives. Just a few months prior to that hostage massacre, under the intense conditions of Nusrat in Gaza, the Dignity for Palestinians campaign was founded in March of 2024 by Dr. Musalem Abu Khalil, a medical doctor from Gaza, and Alicia Yaffe, a Jewish-American peace and justice advocate with a long-standing commitment to Palestinian human rights, in direct response to the growing man-made humanitarian catastrophe in Gaza. At the time, Dr. Abu Khalil was leading a primary care clinic operating out of a school shelter in western Nusrat, serving a displaced population of over 25,000 people. Witnessing the overwhelming health and humanitarian needs of his community, he realized that medical care alone was not enough. That's when the independent Dignity for Palestinians initiative was born, a collaborative effort fueled by grassroots organizers, local volunteers, and committed allies around the world. I'm extraordinarily grateful to have with us today the co-founders of Dignity for Palestinians, Dr. Musalem Abu Khalil and Alicia Yaffe. Dr. Musalem Abu Khalil is a Palestinian physician and humanitarian leader with extensive experience in internal medicine, emergency response, and health system coordination in conflict settings. Until last May, he served as the health technical lead for Project Hope's operations in Gaza, where he led medical strategy and oversaw health services across primary care clinics and emergency medical teams. In March of 2024, Musallam launched Dignity for Palestinians while serving displaced people at the clinic in Western Sirte. As founder and senior advisor of Dignity for Palestinians, Dr. Ahaba Khalil continues to play a central role in shaping the mission, strategy, and operations of the initiative, ensuring principled, needs-driven interventions guided by transparency and impact. It's my great pleasure to welcome Dr. Musallam Abu Khalil to Middle East in Focus.
Thank you so much for having me, Esti.
Also joining our conversation is Alicia Yoffe. Alicia holds a master's degree in conflict analysis and resolution from George Mason University and has been active in cross-cultural dialogue, advocacy, and nonprofit organizing for over a decade. As co-founder and U.S. project director of the Dignity for Palestinians Initiative, Alicia plays a key role in shaping the initiative's outreach, grassroots engagement, and fundraising efforts from both Washington, D.C. and Sacramento, California. Her work connects communities, narratives, and resources across borders to keep the initiative strong and visible. I'm very happy to welcome Alicia Yoffe to Middle East in Focus.
Thank you so much, Esti. I'm very, very glad to be here. Thank you for having us.
Dr. Abu Khalil, I'd love for you to begin by telling us about this incredible collaborative initiative, Dignity for Palestinians, that you and Alicia have built and the local volunteers that help power your initiative.
Thank you for having us, Esti. So the Dignity for Palestinians campaign is what we founded, myself and Alicia, to be a grassroots independent initiative, which we launched in March 2024. Right in the middle of the Gaza crisis. At that time, I was running a small primary care clinic in one of the school shelters in Western Nusayrat, caring for over 25,000 displaced people. We were seeing at that time roughly 150 patients a day in a crowded shelter as clinic, everything from more injuries to kids with diarrhea. And often we were working with minimal supplies. So when I witnessed this overwhelming needs, I realized that simply just being a physician treating patients was not enough. So people needed food, people needed clean water, people needed psychological support. That's why I decided to start the Dignity for Palestinian campaign as a way to act quickly and fill the gaps that are being filled here in Western Nusayrat community, beyond what other larger clinic or agency could do. So what began for me as trying to help my own community has grown by the time to be a collaborative campaign that was really fueled by local volunteers and global allies, including Ireland, UK, and the US. We do have a really amazing team of dedicated Palestinian volunteers on the ground, young and old, and professionals and students, and who literally power everything we do. For example, some of the volunteers that are helping us sometimes show up in the distribution events we have, and we also supported their families with food parcels as a thank you. So because the local organizations or the international agencies were overstretched, and many of those volunteers have actually their homes were reduced to rubble. So the Dignity for Palestinians also has committed partners abroad, and including my co-founder, Alicia, who really helped with fundraising and advocacy and getting resources. And fast forward to this moment, and thanks to this people powered network, we have implemented more than 100 micro relief initiatives in some of the Gaza most underserved areas. And these ranges from delivering emergency food and water, infant formula and blankets and tents and sometimes to setting up small recreational or wellness activities for children. In fact, within the first year of our operation, we have mobilized more than $150,000, all directed to the most vulnerable communities here in Nusayrat. So I think most importantly, dignity is at the core of our mission. And we are trying to involve the community here through community representatives, families. We are speaking to families before distribution so that we understand their needs and respond in a way that they find meaningful. And we tell the stories or the narratives we collect on the ground to our global allies who help us with advocacy and awareness raising. So I think this is what has made us a powerful direct relief campaign here in Gaza. And we are growing and expanding, and we are having more people come in and more allies supporting our cause.
That is so amazing. Alicia, I wonder if you can tell us how you and Dr. Abu Khalil met and decided to collaborate on the Dignity for Palestinians initiative.
Yes, thank you so much, Esti. Dr. Abu Khalil and I met over 10 years ago in fall 2013 through a joint program between my class that I was taking at Penn State and a group of students in Gaza. This was an amazing program. And over the next few years, while I was a teaching assistant for that class, I got to know Masalem better and connected with him on social media. And we stayed in contact over the years since then, you know, messages on Facebook and just checking in to see how we're doing as, you know, Gaza's faced multiple aggressions by the state of Israel since 2013 when we met. When this iteration of the genocide began in Gaza, I was in contact with Dr. Abu Khalil, and he reached out to me when he realized the work he was doing as a doctor at an UNRWA shelter was not enough to meet the needs of the population. And he asked if we could start a GoFundMe crowdfunding campaign, and we did. And that first campaign raised $20,000. And that was the beginning of a amazing program and organization that we've built that has grown beyond my dreams, though I think it was always in Masalem's dreams. And I'm just so, so grateful to be a part of this. And our initiative continues to grow and bring on more volunteers and be able to do more work on the ground in Gaza.
Grassroots organizing at its finest. You're listening to Middle East in Focus on listener-supported KPFK 90.7 based in Los Angeles, and of course, kpfk.org around the globe. I'm Esti Chandler, very grateful to be joined today by the co-founders of Dignity for Palestinians, a collaborative effort fueled by grassroots organizers, local volunteers, and committed allies around the world, Dr. Musalem Abu Khalil and Alicia Yaffe. Dr. Abu Khalil, you've also established the Gaza Cancer and Chronic Care Network, which is a telehealth initiative. Can you tell us a little bit more about that part of the project?
Absolutely. So the Gaza Cancer and Chronic Care Network is an initiative we started to reach patients with chronic illnesses and cancer who in this war have little access to care or consistent care. So with the war and the siege, thousands of Gazans suffering from conditions like diabetes, heart disease, and cancer have found themselves cut off from treatment. So the hospitals we are running that are still operational are overcrowded or have been damaged, and medicines are often really scarce, and many patients fled their homes, lost contact with their regular doctors. So as a doctor working in Nasser Hospital in Khan Yunis, I was seeing this crisis daily in my daily work as patients sometimes come to consult or to seek care with for specialist consultation, which is not routinely available because many of the specialists in Gaza have been displaced. Some of them have been killed. Some of them have been forced to leave Gaza with their families. And so there is a big gap that we needed to give our patients here in Gaza. So it's a first-hand direct experience with what patients need. So we created this GC3N to fill that gap. And it's essentially, this initiative is a hybrid telehealth network. We connect patients in Gaza with a global team of specialist doctors through online platform. And we are trying to also coordinate the local volunteers or the local health professionals here in Gaza, coordinate their care and make sure that the care plans are implemented and followed up. And we also have a project arm, which relates to providing these patients with free medication support. So hopefully we are trying to grow it as we have done with Dignity for Palestinians. And hopefully in the coming few weeks, we are able to see our first patients using this innovative and first of its kind here in Gaza.
Wow, it's truly incredible what you all are doing. Alicia, it seems to me that there is great significance in the name of the initiative. Can you talk a little bit about naming the project Dignity for Palestinians, please?
Yes, thank you. So we named the project Dignity for Palestinians because Palestinians deserve dignity. And that is what our main focus is: wellness, health, and dignity, and the empowerment of folks on the ground in Gaza, local community leaders, and, you know, everyday folks in Gaza. Our volunteers are from the community, and doing this work helps empower them and brings them dignity. And then overall, you know, Palestinians deserve dignity. And situations such as this, unfortunately, they don't help support human rights and dignity overall. So we really wanted this initiative to focus on empowering and building up the community and all of the connections that Dr. Abu Khalil has on the ground. And also, you know, our volunteers abroad looking to support and empower themselves and each other to support Dignity for Palestinians.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. And I think that our Western politicians and our mainstream media are to blame in large part for the dehumanization of Palestinians to try to deter people like you both from doing the important work you're doing. And I just can't say enough about how much I love the name Dignity for Palestinians for your initiative and how important that is. Dr. Khalil, just a few months after the launch of Dignity for Palestinians, the notorious hostage massacre took place. Actually, was it a few months before or a few months after?
A few months before.
Right. I wonder if you can talk about those events, how they affected the community, and whether the clinic that you were managing in the school shelter in Western Nusrat still exists and continues to serve the community that was at the time 25,000 displaced people.
Yeah, this is really a painful topic. I was actually at the moment that we hear the news, we caught the news that the Israeli army has started a large scale air and ground incursion into Nusayrat, and they have used the Western Nusayrat as a point of entry. I was at that time in the small clinic seeing patients. And after that, there was a clear state of shock because we would think that some, you know, intensified military activity has started in Gaza, and now people have started to flee to the most southern parts of Nusayrat and also to Khan Yunis. So at that time, I remember that the hostage rescue operation was really devastating. The clinic that I was working in has received more than 7 people killed and many injured during our work there. And in the span of a single day, the Israeli military turned Nusayrat in a mass casualty scene. Over 270 Palestinians were killed and more than 700 people were injured in the streets. And really among them were dozens of children, women, and some of our neighbors were also killed just because they were in the wrong place in the wrong time. And it's really at that time we did not have the resources to manage the mass casualty event in our clinic, but we did our best. We had also volunteers coming from the shelter itself who are not working with us just to help. And we stabilized the situation and we try to get them transported to secondary hospitals. So we did our best. But you can imagine that this single day has been full of terror and trauma. And people was always thinking, when will be the next thing to happen? Because you cannot anticipate how intense those military activities start without any warning, without any circulating information to the civilians to evacuate and so on and so forth. So I think this has left us with severe emotional toll, especially for the children and the women that have seen this, the shattered bodies and the injured people on the street. But I think, and this is very important to note, the Palestinian people have really an amazing level of resilience. They can go back to, not normal life, but they can go back to their daily activities in a short time. And this is what gives us strength and power to continue despite all these challenges and suffering.
Truly amazing resilience. I completely agree. Alicia, perhaps the most important question I'm going to ask, how do people get involved with the now over 100 direct relief initiatives in some of the most underserved areas of Gaza that Dignity for Palestinians is supporting?
Yes, thank you so much, Esty. So volunteers are the core driver of our program. We are looking for volunteers that can offer anything from 2 hours to more. We are a collective of people from all over the world looking to support Dignity for Palestinians, and we need logistics support, support with digital solidarity and storytelling, creative support like media, video, and design, fundraising and donor support. And really, we want to ask folks to come and offer what they can, the skills they can, and see how we can work together to contribute towards the Dignity for Palestinians. This can look like so many different things. So please fill out the form on our website, which is dignity4palestine.org. And if you go to our website and fill out that form, you can offer whatever skills you have. And we look forward to working with anyone who joins us and in the support for our team on the ground. In addition, we want to note that we are fiscally sponsored by a nonprofit that's a 501c3, so that donations are tax deductible. So if that is a concern, we would really, we look to support those that would like to donate that way. We are really grateful for any volunteers and any donors as well. So please, if you're able to donate, please consider that as well. Again, so grateful for all of the folks that have been contributing to our campaign monetarily and with their time over the months that we have been working as Dignity for Palestinians.
And am I correct that you have volunteers from all over the world engaging with this project?
Yes, we do. We have volunteers in the United States. We have volunteers in Palestine and Israel. We have volunteers across Europe. And so, we're really, really grateful for all of them.
That's fantastic. I can't imagine how you manage all that, but I'm so grateful that you do. And so grateful to be able to have you both on to talk about this project. We have a minute left. I'd like to give it to you, Dr. Abu Khalil.
Thank you so much, Esty, for having us and really giving us a platform to spread our message with U.S. audiences. And my message is that the Palestinian people here in Gaza need all the support that people outside can give them. And this could take many forms, including just perhaps sending a message to a loved one here in Gaza, sharing stories, and perhaps calling representatives, U.S. representatives, to put an end to this conflict. and also perhaps fundraising and introducing us to volunteers and people who can help us in this mission, because this is a community-led initiative by the community for the community.
Well, I certainly hope that our activist audience will heed the call. Reporting from Nusrat, Al Jazeera's Hind Cordery said mothers are desperate to find food to feed their children and themselves amid the Israeli government-induced starvation in Gaza. Since Israel unilaterally broke the ceasefire in March, it has prevented the distribution of food and other aid through the 400 centers in Gaza run by the United Nations and humanitarian agencies, instead setting up just 4 distribution sites controlled by the Israeli military, backed by the United States government, and operated by Israeli occupation force soldiers and American military contractors via the U.S.-Israeli corporation, GHF, about which the Center for Constitutional Rights and 14 other human rights organizations have warned could be liable for complicity in war crimes, crimes against humanity, and genocide against Palestinians for their conduct running their 4 sites. Israeli soldiers and GHF security contractors have repeatedly opened fire on aid seekers at the sites, killing more than 2,200 Palestinians and injuring over 16,000 Gazans since the GHF began operations in late May. Once again, I want to thank my incredible guests, Dr. Musalem Abu Khalil and Alicia Yaffe, co-founders of the Dignity for Palestinians Initiative, a collaborative effort fueled by grassroots organizers, local volunteers, and committed allies around the world. I also want to thank Mark Maxwell for his production support today. Our theme song is The Overture from Summer Night's Dream by Marcel Khalife. For KPFK Los Angeles, I'm Esty Chandler, thanking you for your continued support of KPFK and for taking this time to put the Middle East in focus.
Hi, I'm Patti Smith, and you're listening to Fiercely Independent Pacifica Radio, KPFK, 90.7 FM. People have the power.
The people have the power to redeem the work of fools from the meek, the grace to shower.
Hello and welcome to Radio Intifada, a production of the Swana Region Radio Collective. Radio Intifada has for over 20 years produced a weekly review of politics and culture that brings you the voices of the voiceless from Kolkata to Casablanca here on KPFK 90.7 FM in Los Angeles, as well as streaming worldwide on kpfk.org. All our shows are available to download for 60 days at kpfk.org and can be found as podcasts on Spotify, Anchor, Google Podcasts, Breaker, and Radio Public. My name's David Lloyd, and I'm a member of the South Asia, West Asia, and Northern Africa, or SWANA Collective, that brings you your weekly half hour of Radio Intifada. And I'm here today with fellow collective member Nima Ardalan. Welcome back to the show, Nima. It's good to be back on air with you.
Thanks, David. That's great. Yeah, I'm glad we're doing this together.
Me too. Because over the years,